got a glimpse, actually, of the two sides of the nature of the kami when I was in Japan just this summer. I visited the Tokyo National Museum just to see what was up, and also, since Tokyo is extraordinarily hot in the month of July, to find a nice, cool stone building where I could just hang out for a couple of hours and catch my breath. There was a very beautiful display of art that was connected to a figure named Tenjin, who was a scholar. The story of Tenjin was that he was a scholar at a particular period in Japanese history, and he ran afoul of the authorities in the court, and he was driven out of the capital, persecuted, and eventually took his own life. So he was in some ways, I suppose, the embodiment of restraint and scholarly virtues, virtues which I would, on a good day, attempt to embody myself, I suppose. Anyway, after his death, people began to experience hauntings and natural disasters, terrifying events that they began to associate with him. And they established a cult of his presence and began to worship him, and also developed quite a remarkable tradition of artistic representation of him, both as a scholar and also as a terrifying figure who rode on the thunderstorms and caused all sorts of destructive events in Japanese life. And even in his scholarly form, there's a little look in his eye that just seems slightly wild, that looks like it's about to burst forth into some kind of angry manifestation of his power. So the kami in Japanese culture have this split character. They obviously can be quite benign and quite protective when approached in a certain way, but they also have the ability to be quite destructive. Now, the most important kami in the Japanese tradition is the sun goddess, Amaterasu. The rising sun, of course, is the symbol of Japan, and the power of the sun goddess is understood as being present and embodied in the lineage of the emperors. If you want to get a visceral sense of the Japanese feeling for the rising sun, you might imagine, this is an imaginative experiment that would be pretty easy to do, you could imagine that you were making the pilgrimage to the top of Mount Fuji in the summertime when the snow fields recede enough to clear a path to the top. The way you normally do this pilgrimage is to walk up to one of the high mountain huts on the afternoon before the day when you plan to reach the top, and you spend the night in a hut, wake up at 4 in the morning, and go outside to greet the rising sun as it comes up out of the Pacific and begins to cast its light on Mount Fuji. It's an awesome experience. And in the technical sense, almost, that we talk about awe in religious studies, it's not just a benign experience. It simply overwhelms you. It's mysterious, it's powerful, and it makes you feel extremely small, and also expresses, in a sense, that sense of power and energy that the Japanese associate not just with the sun, but also with the nation of Japan. Now, the presence of Shinto posed a challenge to Buddhism. In Japan, were the Shinto and Buddhist deities rivals, or were they in some way manifestations of the same power? When Buddhism first entered Japan, some Japanese saw Buddhism as a threat, but eventually the two traditions were perceived as complementary, so that the kami and the Buddhas could be worshipped together. This is a distinctive feature of Japanese religious life, that the kami and the Buddhas are often perceived as being different faces or different manifestations of the same powerful supernatural energy. To understand how that happened, we have to take a closer look at the actual historical process that made Buddhism such an integral part of Japanese life. This story begins with a figure by the name of Prince Shotoku, who lived from 573 to 621, and who developed for Japan a 17-article constitution that provided a combination of Buddhist and Confucian values to serve as a charter for the reorganization of Japanese political life. He changed the ranks in the court to conform to a Chinese model. He reformed the principles of etiquette. You can see Confucian values at work here. He adopted a Chinese calendar so that you would perform the proper rituals at just the right time during the flow of the seasons.